Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Off the Book, the podcast. I'm Maddie.
I'm Beth.
And we talk all things YA, NA, adult books. Today, we are talking about Siege of the Seven Sins by our bestie.
We've not checked this with her, but she is our bestie. We've decided Emily Collins.
Yep.
Love her. What a woman.
What
absolute
a woman.
She is an icon. She's a legend. And she is the moment. Her book series, Sword of the Seven Sins, or it's the Seven Sins series.
Yep.
It's a tongue twister. They are underrated, and I will scream about them from the top of the rooftops.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
100%.
You're looking for enemies to lovers? It's here. Knife to the throat? It's here. Overthrowing your shit government? It's here. Like, what more could you want?
What more could you want, indeed? It's all just packed into these little books.
Yeah, and they're such quick reads. I love them. And a fun thing is, we can actually ask her if she's all right with being our bestie, because we are interviewing her today. If you haven't checked out, we've done a previous book review for her first book, Sword of the Seven Sins. We also interviewed her for that book. So please pause here, go back, check those out, read the books, love them, fall in love with Ari Westgaard, then come back, read the second book, listen to this, and then listen to our I think the interview's coming out second, isn't it?
Yeah.
So listen to this, and then in a few days' time, there'll be a new episode. Unless you're listening months down the future, then that
then it's
doesn't
all there.
Matter. Then it's all there. You can binge listen.
I was going to use a phrase.
Mm-hmm. I just did a really aggressive sniffle, and I'm so sorry.
Housekeeping, that's what I was... I was going to say groundskeeping, and that's not right.
It works.
Okay.
It's keeping for the grounds.
Uh-huh. Housekeeping, real quick. It is 500 degrees in the UK at the moment. We have the window open. If you can hear birds, fire alarms,
ice cream trucks, vans,
cars, we're very sorry, but if my laptop overheats, it physically will not work. If our last episode is any indicator of how much my laptop overheats. So I don't want to be putting my laptop in the freezer today. So.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to clarify, we actually tried to record this earlier, and then it said no with a heart and stopped after 51 seconds, and we didn't realise.
Yep.
We did our whole intro, and we're 5 minutes in, and we're like, oh, shit.
Yep.
But speaking of our intro, Maddie, how are you? How's your mental health? What are you reading, and what are you watching?
Well, I've already said this to you. However, my mental health's fine.
She says with a really high, squeaky voice. You sound like Ross in that episode where he's totally not
fine. Had a really shitty driving lesson today. It did not go well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And my test is next week, so
woohoo!
Hey,
can I give you a piece of driving advice?
Yeah,
as someone who failed their test a number of times before passing, I'm a great driver, I promise. When you're on the road, imagine everyone else is trying to kill you. It's a game of Mario Kart. Everyone else is a terrible driver,
see,
so you're
that's
overcompensating.
That's what I think anyway.
Good.
However, I do get told constantly by my driving instructor, shout out Danny. Hello. He does know about this podcast. He asked for the name of it today. So Danny, oh, if you're listening.
Hi, Danny.
I
hope you appreciate the advice I'm giving to her. I know I'm not a driving instructor, but...
Well, he keeps telling me, I know when I'm doing it, and then he goes to me, driving a bit like an old woman. Cheers, Daddy! Yep, I know. Thank you very much. We're just going to ignore that. Okay. Other than that, I have been having an existential crisis about what I'm doing in life.
Same.
Yeah, that's really fun and fresh for us. Graduate life. What am I reading? I read Fresh. I forgot to mention that in my last episode, but I binge read it in a day.
And would you like to remind me, who is the author of Fresh?
Margot Wood.
Oh, wow. Margot Wood.
The UK release is the 19th.
19th of August. It's already out in the USA. And Maddie, why are we so excited about that?
Oh, maybe because she sent us the books and we're interviewing her next week.
We literally got, and we got them sent from Macmillan, which, if you don't know Macmillan, they are one of the biggest publishing houses in the UK. We're interviewing Margot. This is batshit crazy.
Well, I lost my shit when I found out she was one of the founders of Epic Reads.
Yeah, and I lost my shit last night when you told me she was one of the founders of Epic Reads.
Yeah.
And she commented on some of our posts, and we're texting each other whenever anything happens. If a listener sends us an email or if a publicist gets in contact, we'll respond and be like super casual, but on like text we're like, oh my god, what's happening, this is insane, what,
just freaking out. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm also reading Queen Takes Checkmate, which Beth has apparently been keeping up with my Goodreads.
I'm just curious to see which smut you're on now. You can do the same with me. I'm getting into the smutty books, so.
Well, hello, Aunt Tracy.
Hi, Maddie's Aunt Tracy.
If you're listening to this, please do not perceive me. Thank you very much.
I did not wake up today to be perceived.
No. I'm also reading Atlas 6 because that's an upcoming episode. What else am I reading? Oh, I started a spicy F1 book.
Jessica would be so proud of you.
I did message her about it and she was like, keep me updated. I was like, it does read like a fan fiction, but doesn't all spicy books, don't yeah. they all? So I haven't got very far into it, and I'm also reading Lilac. I've just jumped between books, if I'm honest with you.
I'm so proud.
Mm. And I'm still on a Mike binge. I'm just watching all of his videos again, basically, and Colleen Ballinger's vlogs. I can't talk today. Mm.
Because she's now pregnant with twins. Yeah. Have I ever told you the fun fact? My sister went to one of her tours.
She,
my sister ate Cheetos out of her big red trousers. Even she admits it was a really weird thing to happen, but she felt kind of pressured because she's like, this is a really rich woman telling me to do this. Better do it.
She has had some controversies similar she to has. That. But I find her vlogs like really calming to watch.
I find it really cute watching like all the baby stuff.
I don't care about that.
No, I'm not maternal. I'm aunt material.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm allowed to talk about this, I think, now. Because I am going to be an aunt.
Yeah, and nobody knows you.
No one knows me. But, like, I wasn't given the go-ahead from my sister. But it's the thing of, like, she's telling everyone now. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to have to say.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be an aunt. Mm. So I love watching, like, baby stuff. Because I don't want to be a mum. Or at least not for a long time. But I do want to be an aunt. And I'm very mm-hmm. excited. I'm going to be fucking great.
You are.
Oh, no, but I'm going to be a fucking great aunt.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You are going to be.
I thought you meant I am already, and I was like, to who?
Surprise.
Oh my god, am I the aunt to the dogs?
Max did try to kill you yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Maddie's dog did try to murder me. I was bleeding everywhere. My sock is... Actually, I cleaned the blood out.
For the record, he's not an aggressive dog. He knocked a mug over with his towel.
Which is a complete accident. And I don't even think it's his fault.
No. He just doesn't understand that his towel is attached to him. That's yeah. all. Yeah. That's it. That's all I'm watching.
Mm.
Same questions to you.
I'm good. My mental health is good. It's been sunny outside. I got really upset just now because Maddie, one of my earrings had fallen out and Maddie told me, and I got really upset. I had to leave the apartment, retrace my steps, go all the way back to the car. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm wasting our time. I could probably buy another earring. I'm just so upset. I reach into the pocket of my dungarees and my earring is in there. It couldn't have even fallen there. Like, I must have taken it out and put it there. Like, maybe when it was, like, because I was driving down the M11, I felt it, like, loosen. So I think I took it out then and put it in there.
Well, because I did say when I said, because I got you to turn your head, because one, you only had one earring in one ear. And I was like, can you turn around? And you had an earring in the other one. And I was like, that ain't right. So I hadn't seen you today with both sets of earrings in. That's why I didn't say it for a while, because I just assumed you only had the new one in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that for me. But don't worry, I've got them both in now. And I'll probably take them out when driving, just in case.
Where are they from?
Regal Rose.
They should not be falling out your ears. They are an expensive pair of
earrings. Oh no, I hadn't clicked them in properly.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, so I'm good. I too am having an existential crisis, very much of like, am I on the path? What was it? I told Maddie, I was driving in the car yesterday with my mum talking about really wonderful, happy things. And I was thinking about how happy my future's going to be, even though it's quite uncertain. And just an intrusive thought at the back of my head was like, what if you're never happy? And I was like, great, love that. But I said it to Maddie. She laughed and was like, me too.
Me too. All the time.
I threw an absolute curveball at Maddie earlier. I was like, Maddie, why are we friends?
I don't like them types of questions.
But your answer was really good. Hold on. We'll come back to this in a second. I'll just squeeze through the rest of my answers. So I'm good. Mental health's all right. What am I reading? As always, I'm reading multiple books at once. I'm still reading What I Was Doing While You Were Breeding by Christian Newman. I'm reading Fresh by Margot Wood. I'm reading, I'm about to start The Atlas Six. I've started Kingdom of Ash. And I, Penelope Douglas has me in a chokehold because her smutty books are what I'm reading at the moment. They're easing me in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, at the moment on my Kindle Unlimited, I've either got Penelope Douglas, like Credence and stuff, or I've got, what's it called? It's like Blood Crown, where it's like immediately, like 90% of it is just smut.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah?
I've just realised what's on Kindle Unlimited.
What?
The Cruel Prince is on there.
So I don't have to buy the rest of the
books? You don't have to buy the books.
That is amazing.
So we can end up talking about it on this podcast.
We can. I mean, I've got the first book. I bought it ages ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I bought a physical copy ages ago.
It holds a special place in my heart.
I actually bought it the same time I bought ACOTAR.
Oh.
All those years ago.
1 year ago.
1 year ago. Because it's nearly our first anniversary. But yeah, so I'm reading lots of books. And then I'm watching, as always, lots of things. True Blood, Criminal Minds, Grey's Anatomy. Other things that I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm reading a lot. I'm watching a lot. And I'm actually quite enjoying having my summer just reading. It's quite nice.
Lucky you.
And I am binge reading Penelope Douglas's smut books because that woman has me in a chokehold. I literally just finished Punk 57. It was great.
Was it good?
You know,
yes, but no. If you answer that, then I know exactly what you mean. Okay.
Yes, but no. Sorry, back to the really terrible question I asked Maddie. I just loved how much pressure I put you under. You just stared at me like, how dare you ask me such a question? But the answer that you gave was perfect.
I just said it's you.
Yeah.
That's.
No, you went into more reasoning. I can't remember what it was, but it was great.
You went into more reasoning. I was like, yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. Well, because I'm deep emotional.
And I'm not that. Yeah. I'm surface level.
Look, I know deep down you love me.
Yeah.
And if anything ever happened, you lose your shit.
Yeah. Loved that girl in the club. I mean, she wasn't attacking you, she was attacking me, but.
But you were, I was your priority at that time.
Exactly.
So. BFFs. I'm so glad we're talking now. I'm so glad we no longer hate each other.
There was also that one time in Beer Keller.
Where. But that's when George was there and we put George in the way, so the next time the guy tried to annoy me.
Well, at first I was the one that was stood there like.
Do you remember when we went to Beer Keller? So fun fact, Beer Keller is, it's like a chain of like, it's like a bar, restaurant, and there's just a point in the evening where everyone goes from sitting down and drinking to like dancing on the tables.
Yeah.
It's like an unspoken
thing. I don't know how they've got the insurance for it.
Me neither. Maybe that's where they closed down.
Maybe.
But I'm really tall. I remember
video. I've got a view just dancing in the gap in the ceiling.
So there was a gap in the ceiling, like between the vents, and that's where my head was. If I wanted to dance on the tables like everyone else, I had to like crouch.
That's so fun. It's just his brother dancing on the table. He's tall.
Yeah, he was taller than me. That's why when
how
that person.
How was he doing that?
I think we shared the space in the vent.
That's so funny to me. T-shirt tour in Freshers.
Uh-huh.
You wasn't there.
I wasn't there. And I'm really sad.
Yeah.
I wish I went.
But me and Jess went and we got to Beer Keller. And I just have this memory of someone falling off of the table. I think we know, I have no recollection of who it is. Like, it was just like as we was leaving, I turned around and someone just dropped. And Jess did tell me who it was, but we know who they are.
Please be Chris.
It wasn't Chris, although that was the night that we did meet Chris.
I know, that's why I remember it was Chris.
It wasn't.
I love Chris, he's great.
Yeah.
Anyway. does Chris know that we made a podcast?
Probably not.
I misread some of our notes. I thought instead of shifting, it said shitting. I thought I'd misspelt that.
You or the first
me,
one.
Me, when I was still making the notes. Okay, so this week's book, Siege. So it's the second book in the series. This book has got me simping once again for a fictional man. But he is one of the best fictional men.
I'm obsessed with him.
I think, once again, it's because he is a man written by a woman.
Yep, I would lay down my life for him.
And there's this, like, it's, like, subtle but, like, consistent. Like, this thing about, like, how he makes sure that Eva has always, she's in control of her body autonomy. He always reminds other people that, like, even, like, in, like, a friendly situation, they cannot put their hands on her without her consent. it's just, oh, it's so refreshing. Like, I know that the bar, like, that means the bar is set low. But, like, I can't tell you another author that makes it so clear.
The only thing I can think of is Mr. Badman. Reese, the original Mr. Badman. Giving Feyre a choice. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. And that is... that was when the bar was set low. I can't believe we simped over that man.
Yeah. I mean, the artwork of him is fantastic.
Yeah. His actions.
No. I saw a TikTok today about Asriel, and I'm not going to talk about it because it's an 18 plus one, but if I find it, I'll show it to you. Okay. It just... it makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. Really quickly, where we left off at the end of the last book.
Spoiler-free. Spoiler-free for this book, not for the first one. Yeah.
So Eva and Ari are running away to join the Brotherhood. They've left the Commonwealth, but the Bellators, who are like the really kind of like assassins of society, are chasing after them. They're delayed by a few days because Ari and Eva know where they're going. The Bellators don't. They make it to the Brotherhood and they decide that they're going to be together. They just need to figure out what that actually means.
Sorry, I just had to plug in my laptop. I was paying attention.
That's okay. I knew you were.
If you can hear my microphone, I'm very sorry. I'm having to hold it today. So I just apologise.
This is the closest we've ever been, like, physically recording.
Our setup today is an interesting
We literally, like, sat facing each other, right next to each other, like, legs extended.
It did start when we were recording before. My laptop was on Beth's lap.
Yeah. It could have been worse. We could be recording with Den of Vipers as a
mic stand,
which I have previously done.
Several times.
That book is chunky. It gets the job done.
Yeah. Anyway, star reviews. I give it a 5-star.
I give it a 5-star.
Hands down. No questions asked.
And I will say that to her face.
Yeah.
If I could give it 6, I would.
Yeah, same. I love this book.
The heartbreak, the tension, all of it was just there.
Listen, it's like, what, 250 pages?
Literally 259 pages.
It will take you...
An afternoon.
It's so good.
It truly is amazing.
If you haven't read the first one, please go and pick up the first one and then this one.
And then go on to Goodreads or Storygraph or anywhere that you go to rate books. Give it a 5-star. Because it's
no choices.
No choices.
It has to be a 5-star.
Emily deserves it. It's phenomenal. This woman put her whole heart into that book. And there's another one coming out. And I need it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't read the novellas yet.
I feel... me neither. I feel really bad. We're going to interview her later and I'm just going to straight up be like, when's the next one out? I need answers.
I ordered Unbound today. It's the series of short stories, the book of short stories that she wrote with a whole bunch
gorgeous
of...
gorgeous one.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was looking at me from my Amazon and I was like, fuck it.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
What was I going to Google?
The book. You was going
to... No, not Unbound.
Oh, I need to drink.
I was going to Google something else.
I don't know. I can't...
Oh, no, I was going... Sorry. We've just had an email from Emily.
Love
just
that.
Just saying, got it, thanks. I love
just her. Respond with thanks, bestie.
I don't want to call her bestie without I'm trying to check into our Goodreads to give it a 5-star and it's just taken me to a new page. Yar, the page you requested can't be charted on any known map. And then it goes into a quote from Gideon Defoe's The Pirates, an adventure with scientists. I just wanted to rate Emily's book a 5-star.
I'll do it. I mean, I don't have access to us, but I can do it on my account. That's not the right thing. Anchor is not what I want. But yeah, go read the book. What are you doing?
Literally, what are you doing?
Why are you still listening to us?
Go read the books. You will not regret it. It has intrigue. You know, we'll just... it's just great. Just do it. If you like enemies to lovers, read it.
I would also like to point out your girl reached her Goodreads reading target for this year.
I'm still 5 books behind. Woo-hoo.
What's the number for you?
My number is 66. I'm on 31.
Mine was 40. It's not coming up. I love that for me.
I love 2021.
It says 40, but that's not... It's got to be 41. It's not registering that I've read... I've read Siege. I'll fix that in a minute.
I love that for you.
Anyway, if you haven't read the book and you don't want spoilers, please disappear now.
Go read it, enjoy it, and then come back.
You need to read the book before you listen to this, because there are like major
spoilers. Yeah. Which we've not even discussed them yet. So no. I'm very excited.
Other than me messaging Beth and being like, am I a genius?
Am I better than everyone?
Yeah, like, come on. Oh, also my notes for this on the actual book, fantastic, and I'm really proud of them.
I can't wait to hear them all.
All of them?
All of them. Every single one.
There's a lot. I don't think you want all of them. It's mainly me talking to the characters, like they can hear me.
Also, I think we're not going to go into too much massive detail, because if you're listening for funsies without having read the book, you need to go and experience it.
Yeah.
So, this is just the basic plot. I'm going to talk it through and talk about our heartbreak.
Yeah, she be shifting, there be fire.
She be shifting, there be fire. Oh, that was me. Forgot. So the book starts. It starts exactly where the last one left off, if my brain is correct.
Yeah. So they're in the tent. They were like kind of getting it on, and then Eva turned around and was like, "I'm not ready."
And then he goes, "I respect
you." Yeah, Ari, like the king he is, was like, "Absolutely fine."
I swear to God, I'm going to say this, and if Emily will listen to this, Emily, please do not make Ari betray any of us. If he turns around and is actually bad in some way, I don't think he physically.
Don't think he could be.
If he did, I think that would be it. I think I would actually stop falling in love with fictional men.
That's the one that's going to do it for you.
That's the one.
You said this before. I can't remember what book it was on.
Yeah, but then they didn't turn evil. But if Ari, who I have fallen wholeheartedly in love with, if he turns out to do something bad, or if something bad happens to him, like he dies...
Oh, if something bad happens to him, I'm going to lose my shit.
Emily might actually not be allowed to be our bestie anymore. We still don't even ask if she wants to be our bestie, but...
She doesn't have a choice. We're besties. I've decided.
Okay, so it's, yeah, literally the same day, or, like, the
next... It's the same night.
Yeah. She starts shifting, but it's, like, just her hand turns into, like, a panther's paw. Mm-hmm. She then manages to calm herself down, because it's all the shadows that are, like, shift. So she be shifting, she then stops, and she can smell, like, fire in the distance.
No, they tell her. She, like, goes to, like, look away from the shadows, but, like, she decides not to for once, and she ends up looking at them, and they tell her to run.
Yeah.
And then that, like, snaps her out of whatever, like, kind of day she's in. She managed to shift her hand back into a hand. Mm-hmm. And she wakes Ari up, and then they, like, grab all of their stuff and, like, try to go and warn the others. Jackson's just being a little dick, as per usual.
I think you and I have really differing views on Jackson.
Listen, he has the potential to be a good character.
I think he's a good character.
But he's just an absolute arsehole.
He's less so at the end.
Less so at the end, but for majority of this book, he's just a dick.
Yeah. So yeah, everyone wakes up, and what they do is they split the camp in half. Half of them are like packing everything up. The other half, so Ari, Eva, Jackson, and Camilla, I think.
Sure.
They all go to set up like a tripwire and to like fend off the Bellators. And then Ronan's like, "I will fire a gun, and when you hear that, then you have like 10 seconds until the tripwire goes."
I truly don't understand why that was the plan, because the Brotherhood were shooting at the Bellators. No. Yes, they were.
Oh, they were.
Because Ari thinks that he's like, "I don't know how we're going to be able to hear that one single shot over the
roof." Yeah. But yeah, so they're fighting. Obviously, Killian's there, and we know that Killian is, you know, a double agent working on both sides. So he whispers to Eva the kind of secret code of like a, you know, like a wolf will not bare its teeth.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't know
he
that.
He says it. She gives this kind of smirk and does like almost like a follow me, or like come, you know, come get me, and she runs off and he chases after her.
Is so, that what that was? Okay.
So they remove themselves from the action so she doesn't have to fight him and hurt him and vice versa, because they know that he's working the other side. And to the other Bellators, if they survived, they could then easily say to the executor, "Well, we saw him chase after Eva, who is the reason why we're out here, so it's fine." I'm so sorry, I just smacked your laptop.
Listen, I still don't trust Killian. I know I need to read the novella, but I still don't trust him.
I really want to know what Killian looks like.
Fair.
I know there's character descriptions, but I like to imagine it in my head. But yes, so they pull the tripwire, they're escaping, and a load of the Bellators die, which is quite hard.
A lot of them. There was like 27 and they whittle it down to like, what, 11? Yeah, what do the Bellators have? Like a sword and a dagger.
And throwing knives and some real speed, bitch. They are speedy.
They are, but they've been trained to be speedy.
Yeah. Not like Eva.
Not like Eva,
no. Who's genetically formed to be speedy.
They're just speedy.
Yeah. But they managed to run away. They kill a large portion of the Bellators. And then they're walking and hiking. Maddie's just singing and dancing to herself.
I've got Doja Cat stuck in my head.
I heard from a friend of a friend that...
Why do you stop singing?
Okay, so they're walking, they're hiking, they pull over somewhere, and they're resting.
This is a mess.
This is a hot mess.
Emily, bestie, we're sorry.
We're so sorry. We are not doing your book justice. It's phenomenal. Everyone please read it. So, to start the next couple of chapters, what happens is they're all talking about how... they tell Ari about what Eva is. And he actually deals with it really well. And she's very much going like, I'm a monster. Da, da, da. He's like, no, you're not. Like,
he's so amazing. Sweet to her. There's a quote. I'm sure there's a quote. Just keep talking. I'm going to see if I can find it.
Okay. Or would you like the physical copy of the book where I've got that whole section? Like, fun fact. I've got... So they find out exactly what she is. Ari's super supportive. They talk about how... Ari was meant to be the person to be her familiar and to anchor her, but they say, you've not been trained, you don't know what you're doing. So we've got a familiar with her. You good?
I'm surprised I don't have a beak. Listen, that is a quote from the book. I've just seen it.
I'm surprised.
We were saying how different this book would have been if Eva had a beak.
If Eva had a beak, it would all be so different. She wouldn't be able to kiss Ari.
So for stars.
So half my favourite scenes would be cut. Sorry, I just got distracted by one of my other favourite quotes that I really like. Basically, everything's fine. Later that night, she starts to shift in her sleep. Ari's told he cannot touch her because then if he does, they'll bond, not her and Jackson, because Jackson's the other familiar and he's been trained for this. So he can help her and they want to start building the bond with Jackson. And Eva says, yes.
I found the quote.
What's the quote?
So this is when she's like freaking out. It's literally just after she says, I'm surprised I don't have a beak. She does say it. I thought she thought that. But he turns to her and he says, you're beautiful and you're smart. And anything they did to you only made you better, stronger. If they really messed with your genome, then the joke's on them. They want you to be a weapon. Fine, little warrior. Use the tools they gave you to fight them.
I love him.
I love him. So I'm a simp for Ari Westergaard.
I love him so much. So she starts to shift. Ronan is there, and he's literally like, I'm going to go find Jackson. Don't lay a hand on her or else you'll start bonding with her and you don't know what you're getting yourself in for.
This whole scene, I think, was so well done. Like,
yeah.
It's and messy. And it was so
heartbreaking.
Literally, it's messy and it's like almost like violent to read it happening to her. Whereas most times I feel like, especially in YA books, when someone's like got these magical powers, the second it happens, they all just kind of, it's like second nature to them.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like
messy for everyone involved.
Yeah. And it hurts. It hurt my heart.
It's made clear that like she is special because most people is it a scum slot?
I can't Summer say Scott? It. I'm not gonna begin.
The shifters. Yeah. They can only shift into one animal, but she can shift into four. Mm-hmm. So this is like unknown waters even for like a trained familiar. And there's a point where I think Ari does gently like brush his hand towards her.
Yeah,
he's like taken away. In fact, it takes like three or four people to drag him away. He fights them off, tries to get back. I love those scenes.
I need fan art of this scene, please and thank you.
Please and thank
you. Like the ones we've got of, I'm not going to say it because spoilers, but A Court of Silver Flames. That one scene.
Oh my god, that rips my heart out.
Yeah, but I need fan art of this.
Yes. This is one of those like random tropes that I love is when like two people that care about each other are separated and it takes like more than like two people to like restrain one of them.
Yeah,
I find it quite actually attractive It sounds weird, but it's like, how strong is he as a warrior?
That's very true.
Like, look, I do not support the patriarchy or its values, but like that's a very masculine thing that I find quite attractive, or traditionally masculine, considered masculine thing. But yes, so he's fighting to get back to her. She shifts at one point and like massive wings sprout from her back, and then they come back in. But don't worry, everyone. The best thing that could possibly happen happens.
Listen.
No. Can I say it? She shifts into a seal, but then keeps her own face.
Listen, am I upset it only happened for a second?
Yeah.
Yes, but am I excited that it's there?
Yes. So she shifts later on in the book. She shifts into all of the animals, but never again the seal.
No.
So I'm hoping, Emily, bestie, what have I got to do to get more seal content? I want her to go for a swim as a seal.
We've got a pole.
Yeah.
There's a pole.
Yeah.
She can shift now at will. I would like some training montages of her as a seal in the water.
I got really confused for a second because we had to take a momentary break because of technical difficulties, and I went back to reading a Penelope Douglas smut where they're literally just going, there's a pool. So I thought you were talking about that, and I was like, no, she's not.
No, I wasn't. I'm very sorry to tell you this, but I was not. I can't get anything to work.
So they go, they're hiking, walking, spending days travelling. Ari's quite grumpy because Eva absolutely refuses to take away his free will. Because if he becomes so familiar, that's what will happen. He will absolutely lose his free will. So they hike, they get to Vic, which is the city where kind of the Brotherhood is, or their section of the Brotherhood. We find out that... you good?
Yeah, sorry. I couldn't figure out if it was... one of my notes, or if it was from the book, and it was just like, and now if you would get out, and I was like, did I say that, or is that in the book?
I love that for you. They go to Vic. They are taken to their like retrospective like lodgings. Ari was going to be staying in the same building as Eva, but he finds out Jackson's going to be there as well, and just straight up goes, no, I'll stay elsewhere.
Yeah,
which I understand, but I'm at the same time like, if you don't want Jackson to be getting close to her, would you not then stay?
Well, because also Eva at this point has pushed him away and been like, I don't even want to touch you, like, because I don't want to risk you.
Yeah.
So I think he's like, if I'm not near her, then maybe this will make it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Plus being in like the guards and the soldiers quarters, that's what he's used to.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a safe space for him to be there.
And it's also like, it's mentioned like, they, so after she shifts, the next day he's allowed in the tent with her by himself against like all orders, and they start to kiss and stuff, and like it's almost like he's in pain and she thinks it's... Do you not remember
this? What part is this?
So this is before they got to Vic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's a kissing scene in the tent, and it's almost like it's causing him pain, and she feels like it's because of her and her powers.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why she pushes him away. So he's going to stay with the soldiers, but he's invited to go to the council and meet the councillors. And it's really upsetting because he's walking and joking with one of the soldiers, and there's two other soldiers at the door. And because they don't trust him, they do like full body search him to make sure he's not got any weapons. And they take his weapon off him. And
the
like
fact that he still has one, though, I'm like, yes. Yeah.
But like, they take his dagger, which is like practically part of him.
Yeah.
And like, it felt so
wrong,
dehumanizing almost for him.
Yeah.
Because his thing is, as a soldier, he's always got weapons,
and he's going into a situation he knows nothing about. He doesn't
and
know who's.
He's going to be outnumbered, and he doesn't trust any of them except Eva, and yep. Eva's still pushing him away.
Yep, and the people he's around are being allowed their weapons. That's like, makes it 100 times worse. Like,
we know that he could defend himself without his weapons, but it's still upsetting that he's having that robbed from him. A lot of stuff happens between the... Oh, also things are really tense with Jackson, because on the walk... There was an incident between... It was quite an attractive scene, actually, of...
Violent.
It was violent. Look, I woke up today and chose violence. No, but, like, Jackson's being an arsehole.
Yeah.
And Ari is very much like, you know, she's not my possession. She's not my property. I don't like the way... I don't trust you. And the fact that you have sole access to her now makes me uncomfortable, because I do not feel safe leaving her around you. Even though she makes her own decisions, you are not the person that I trust to be around her.
Yeah. Because he hasn't exactly been friendly to anybody since, or any of them, either of them.
But it's the point of, like, he fights him and, like, has a, like, knife to him and, like, locks off his airway, and you're like, he means business.
Yep.
So he's not comfortable with Jackson, but Jackson is on one side of Eva and Ronan's on the other, and Ari's by himself.
Yeah.
But he goes into, like, what's it, like, investigator mode, or, like, he's listening out to everything.
I'd like to say at this point, so Eva's been taken to her, like, fancy room in this fancy mm-hmm. house, right? And she goes and gets in the shower or bath, I don't mm-hmm. know, one of them. And someone comes into the room, takes the clothes that she was wearing out of the room and lays out new clothes for her, right? So she is dressed in, like, brotherhood clothing, the colours, the material, all of that situation. So not only is Eva sandwiched between two men that Ari doesn't necessarily trust, mm-hmm. she's also starting to become one of the brotherhood who equally neither of them should be trusting at this point.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be trusting them. But it's almost like isolating Ari even more, because in his head he thinks, like, he's shocked by the fact that Eva hasn't put her gear back on. It doesn't seem like a move that she wouldn't necessarily make normally. And it's like, they talk about it in a second, but they see him as expendable.
They also keep referring to him, or some of them call him, like, Bellator.
Yeah.
Or Jackson still calls him Exile.
Yeah.
So it's that thing of, like, they are alienating him completely from them as a group.
Yeah.
Which is deeply upsetting. There's discussions about what the council need from her. And they're like, oh, but, you know, we won't take anything that you don't want to give willingly. Like, we want you to be able to make this decision. And she's basically told that she should bond with Jackson. And she kind of straight up was like, yeah, sure. Cool. I'll train with him. And if it feels right, we'll do it. And then they also start talking about Prince Sebastian, who is like a royal member of one of the houses. He's also a shifter. And Ari straight up is like, so what are you saying here? Because no one else is going to ask the question, and I'm not going to allow this to go over her head. What are you expecting? Because it sounds like you want her to marry this man that she does not know. And they're like, well, you kind of stole the punchline from us, buddy. But yeah, if you're willing, if you marry. And they say, like, oh, only shifters can only breed with other shifters. So she would have to marry Prince Sebastian, have kids to continue the shifter line. But also that her marrying him would be the final step in, like, being able to actually fund and, like, complete our revolution.
Yeah, because the four houses have kind of been split. They're not necessarily seeing eye to eye about, one, how to defeat the Commonwealth, two, just how to exist normally.
Yeah. And so the fact that they go, oh,
it's like a political move,
yeah, it's a political, like, alliance.
Yeah.
And they're like, but look, we'll give you time to think about it. But, like, both Ari and Eva, like, leap out of their seats and, like, or he's like, absolutely not. You cannot, like, you're not going to sell her off.
Yeah.
You can't do this. And again, like, he's advocating for the fact that she's an independent human being. She cannot be sold for political gain. She stands up and is still kind of angry, but goes, I'm going to take this under consideration. Thank you for letting me know.
At this point, I'm like, Eva from the first book, I feel like was very calculating in her approaches to things, right? She kind of knew exactly what she was getting into before she gets into them.
Yeah.
Whereas here I feel like she trusts them almost immediately. And in my head I was thinking, like, she better have a plan.
Yeah.
She better have a fucking plan. Otherwise, I don't know what's happened.
Ari's told he's gonna start training the soldiers, and in return they're gonna show him how to shoot a gun, so everyone's gonna be, like, super efficient soldiers. But it's made very clear to him that he is still seen as the enemy, because he's blamed for the bombing that killed lots of their soldiers. Obviously, a lot of the soldiers had friends who were killed, so their training's not going to be fun because mm-hmm. they don't like him already. No. Eva tries to train with Jackson, but it's not really working. He won't really, like, his touch is really light. Like, he won't really, like, try with her. And she is really lovely and is very much like, look, I understand why you blame me, da, 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 and she's trying to make amends.
Well, she does, like, proper, like, kind of explode at one point. Like, she gets so angry with it, which she says as well, like, we're not allowed to show this type of anger in the Commonwealth. And for her, I think that's, like, a big step to being like, why can't we do this? Like, she's getting, like, really frustrated with herself and with him. And she says it earlier on, but she doesn't trust Jackson, not 100%. So I think the combination of Jackson not liking her because he somewhat, to an extent, blames her for the bombing,
mm-hmm.
and her not fully trusting him is not helping the situation.
But the thing that really pissed me off is then afterwards, she goes, oh, you're going to train with Ari, oh, here's some of his weaknesses.
Yeah, why did she do that?
I was very much like, I know that she's trying to bond with him and be like, look, you're not in any way going to, like, win in a fight against him, but here's a way to make it at least a bit more even.
I really don't understand why she did that.
I got so angry at her. I know that she was trying to, like, form a bridge, but...
I'm not gonna lie, I was angry with Eva pretty much all of this book.
I know.
I was so frustrated, like... Yeah. I understand that she wants to protect Ari and that she wants him to have a choice, right? But he has told her...
She also is, like, taking his choice away from
exactly. He has told her over and over and over and over again, I choose you. I want to do this for you. And she's still like, but no! Like, it almost feels like kind of a selfish thing because she doesn't want to have the guilt of being the one who takes away his free will.
Yeah, and she's, I think that because of the environment they've just come from, she's adamantly going like, his free will is so important. Yeah. He's just gained it.
Mm-hmm.
Eva then goes for a horse ride with May, who's acting kind of suspicious. The thing that was a red flag for me was immediately when Eva goes, are we friends? Like, I'm not allowed to have friends in the Commonwealth, so I want to know, like, are we friends?
Yeah.
Like, is that what this is? And she doesn't initially say it, but around about the end, she goes, oh, I'd love to be your friend.
Yeah.
But it was just like something about that.
Roundabout way of getting to the point.
Yeah.
And the other red flag for me was she starts talking about how she's frustrated because she doesn't know how to fight. This is May. That she doesn't know how to fight, and she kind of feels like she's useless. And Eva goes on, like, this whole rant about how, not rant, but, like,
She's like a healer.
She's a healer. She's so important to this
war
community.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one who lets in people into the town, village. I'm not quite sure where they are.
Like, as the mage, no one can get in or out. Like, she's protecting everyone.
When she says, like, nobody can get in and unless they're with you, she goes, like, really quiet.
I've just realised so many implications about the ending.
Yeah.
What?
So this was the point I messaged you and I was like, I message you? I was like, I don't trust May. Like, I really don't trust her.
Hold on, I'm adding a note to the bottom. Okay. Oh my gosh. I have to ask Emily.
I don't know where we are. Ultimately she says, like, they're friends. So this is like another day, I think. Ari goes to, like, the training grounds and he finds Eva there, which is a surprise. She hasn't been training with them the whole time they've been in Vic. But, like, they end up, like, fighting, kind of. Like, it's not real. It's just, like, a demonstration. And it's kind of just, like, he says something along the lines of, if this is all I can...
Oh, don't worry. Also, it's the thing of, like, they so easily slip back into the role of mentor and, apprentice, that's the word. But obviously he's now been told by Ronan, like, you can't really be with her. If she's possibly going to be marrying Sebastian, you can't have her.
I didn't think he had that yet. I thought that was later.
I don't know. Because basically he says, if I cannot have you any other way, I will have you like this. Here, everything is as it once was. Here, she and I cannot be divided. Because at this point he's learning that he's going to completely lose her.
Yeah.
And he's still fighting for her every step of the way.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they fight. They end up, like, across the training yard. Eva's, like, backed up against a wall. And then Ari starts to get, like, really weak.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the same thing as when they were in the tent. It's, like, hurting him.
Yeah. And eventually he, like, passes out and is, like, being carried out.
Yeah. Also, we learn later that Gertrude, which is one of the counsellor people, I really love the name Gertrude, and Ronan, like, instigated this whole situation because they wanted to see what made Eva, like, to shift, because she starts shifting. That's so annoying to me.
Because they've humiliated him.
Yep.
In front of everyone he's meant to be gaining the respect of.
Yep.
So that's an absolute smack in the face to him.
Also, they told her, like, it's just going to be a demonstration. It's just to help gain these men's respect for Ari. And then...
He passes out.
So they would have lost my trust immediately if I was Eva. But I feel like she still is, like, somewhat trusting them at this point.
I think it's not necessarily that she's trusting them, but she's having to trust the fact that she is their only hope to fight back against the Commonwealth, and she knows that she can save so many lives.
Yeah, I get that, but, like,
it's Ari. Ari runs runs away and starts doing laps in the pool.
Why? He's physically exhausted. Why was his go-to move, I gotta go swimming?
He's literally nearly passed that once. If he passed that again, he'll drown.
Exactly.
But then, like, Eva comes to talk to him, but he kind of, like, acts like a dick to get her to leave him alone because he doesn't want to see... He doesn't want her to see how weak he is.
Mm-hmm.
And she does storm off. Oh, yeah, so this is actually the point where Eva and Ari are both told that if Eva makes a decision to bond with Jackson and marry Sebastian, her and Ari won't be able to see each other and talk to each other. He would just be a guard and have to be basically silent. Ari goes to see Eva in the library, and they get into this full-blown argument because Ari wants to just try and be the familiar.
I really don't understand why they just won't let him give it a go.
Yeah.
Because there's a quote from Gertrude. There's a quote from Gertrude that says something along the lines of, once a bond is started to form, it's the worst possible choice to try and break it.
And also, she's fully aware that he was chosen from a young age to be her familiar. Exactly. There is a reason.
But, like, they know there's a bond between the two of them. Why the fuck are they trying to break this bond and force Jackson on her if it's not, it's like frowned upon for people to normally break these bonds, right? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm.
It's really frustrating. Like, at least... train him a little bit, let him give it a go. If it doesn't work, pull him away like you have the other times. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Eva is getting angry and she starts to shift into a wolf. Jackson comes to save the day and keeps her grounded. Meanwhile, Ari's pushed out of the way. And it's heartbreaking because as she's kind of like still in human form, she like reaches out and like Jackson like cradles her, and Ari's just there like completely gutted. Like the fact that she's so willing to let him hold her like and not me, it breaks his heart. And Jackson's so smug at the end, and like she growls at Ari and he's like, yeah, you heard the Lady Westward, get out.
See, Jackson's a dick. He irritates me so much because there are little moments where he's like, chill, I'm fine, and kind of funny, and then the other times, especially with Ari, he's just an arsehole.
So don't laugh at me.
Are you okay?
So, okay, Ari is coming back from training. Things have gotten a bit better now. Like, even though he did pass out at the end of that training session that one time, people have started to respect him a bit more. Yeah,
pretty much all Ari. We don't get to see much of his skills in this book. Pretty much all he does is simp and collapse.
And you know what? That's all I ask for from a man.
That's all I want.
I mean, he also like defends her honor continuously and reminds everyone that she is in charge of her own bodily autonomy.
That's part of the simping. He is a simp.
I think we can call him a feminist, but like, I don't think he'd call himself a feminist.
No,
he'd just be like, he'd be like, no, I'm just asking for like basic human rights with her.
Men who call themselves feminists are kind of red flags.
Depends on
the guy, but majority of the times.
The guys who go out of their way and admit, like, oh my god, yeah, girl, I'm a feminist. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, where's the red flag that screams opposite?
Yeah.
What was it? I met a guy who was like straight up, like, I went on a date with a guy who was like, oh, you know, like, I'm a feminist. Yeah, equal rights. Woo! And I was like, automatically, the way you said that makes me feel like you're just trying to say it to appease me.
Yeah.
I already hate you.
Yeah.
You're not like assuaging that.
No.
Like, I still don't like you.
Is he a himbo?
I don't think Ari's a himbo. I don't think he qualifies.
I feel like he is bordering on himbo.
No, I think he's just a simp.
Okay. That's fair. I'll accept the simp category. Okay, here's a question.
Okay.
Men in cages. Ari's not in a cage.
Ari's not in a cage.
Jackson, at the end of the book...
I don't think Jackson belongs in a cave.
At the end of the book, he can have free reign.
Yeah.
Okay?
Also, just would like to clarify, we've now seen fan art of what they all look like, and it's drastically shifted our perceptions. I did not read...
Killian, for example.
Killian! Oh my god! Like, before I even had seen the description, I don't know why, I just knew he was ginger. But he's so attractive.
And so is the executor.
I was not expecting the executor to be attractive. And actually, Emily... bestie, I know you're listening to this. Why did you make him attractive? because this is, I didn't realize this until now.
And in my head, he looked like a rat. And now my perception has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to perceive this new and improved executor.
Yeah, I imagined him like tall and kind of skinny. You know what? I imagined him like like Iggy Pop, but not with the long hair.
Nobody understands why that reference is going to come into your head.
But Maddie does.
I do. If anyone's obsessed with Måneskin, you'll know exactly why.
Well, no, I mean, they probably won't. But basically,
if you're obsessed with Måneskin, you're going to know about that collab. Yeah.
But then again, you're obsessed with them and you didn't know about it until I texted.
No, and when I searched it on Spotify, it didn't come up.
But it's there. We've listened.
It is there.
Basically, to make a long story short, the Italian winners of Eurovision, Måneskin, they're amazing. They did a re-release of one of their most popular songs with Iggy Pop. But we both found it deeply uncomfortable. It's an interesting song that's kind of talking about like wanting to be like dominating of your partner, but also subservient. And like with these kind of like, you know, young 20 somethings, it's kind of empowering, really interesting to listen to. But with them and then a 74-year-old man going like really close to the microphone going like, I wanna be, it just makes you so uncomfortable. We've listened to it in the car and we just sat there like.
It made me uncomfy. Have we listened to it several times?
Yes.
Yes. It's like a train wreck. You can't look away.
Yeah, but to link it back to the book, I just imagined him a little bit like that.
Yeah, you know what? I agree.
But just without the cool hair.
Is it cool?
It's just long. I would just like to clarify, I don't actually mean Iggy Pop, but like the description of him being like tall, very kind of thin. That's where my description came from. But yes, so Ari's better with people now. He's coming back from training with two of the guards. They're having a bit of a joke around. They're kind of making a bet about like Ari showing how good his skills are. He actually like wages like on his dagger, which they're like, dude, that's literally part of your personality. And he's like, yeah, just to show you, I'm saying that because I'm so good. I'm not going to lose it. And I know that. They're having a nice little joke around, and then he sees Jackson and Ronan. Now he's aware that Jackson wasn't at training, but he kind of didn't care because he does not like Jackson. But Ronan is very much going like, dude, chill the fuck out. And Jackson's like, no, like, I know that what I'm doing is an honor, but I'm still losing my last night of freedom. I'm gonna spend it however I want. You're gonna get out of my way. Now Ari, as a Bellator, as an ex-Bellator, he uses his, like, sneaky skills.
Stealth skills. No one can see what you're doing. But
I'm, like, waving around. He follows him through the city. He watches as he goes into a shop and he waits outside. While he's waiting, May comes out of a different shop. She looks around to make sure she's not being followed and she sneaks off. And, like, I didn't think anything of it on my initial reading. Like, I thought it was weird, but I was like, I know I'm going to get betrayed, but for now, I don't want to perceive it.
For now, we're going to ignore it because Jackson's doing something weirder, so we're just going to follow him.
We'll look at May later. Right now, I want to know what Jackson's doing. He's, like, angsty.
Ari, like, makes a choice. He sees May being weird and acting like, a little bit sus, and he's like, I can't because Jackson's... Something's not right. I'm gonna follow him.
So then eventually Jackson comes out of the shop.
Just before this is it where we get the conversation between Ronan and Jackson about being bonded to Eva?
So basically
Jackson doesn't really want to do it, but everyone's telling him that it's an honor.
And he's aware that it's an honour.
So in a way, he's almost being forced into it.
Mm.
Effectively. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't like Eva. He blames Eva for the bombing that killed someone he loves.
Tobias.
Yeah, but we haven't got to that part yet.
No, we don't. We do.
We haven't got to that part yet.
No, but like, we know it's Tobias.
Oh, okay.
At this point.
Oh.
We don't know too much about Tobias.
Okay. But yeah, he's kind of being forced into it, which is exactly what Eva doesn't want. And she doesn't know. But at the same time, he is making that decision. But at the same time, does he have much of a choice? No.
Because the council are controlling.
Yeah.
And they're making sure that she thinks he has a choice, but he's fully aware that he doesn't.
Yep. Anyway, so Ari follows him. He goes into a shop. He comes back out again. he then like goes into a building, right? He climbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he goes and sits on this beam. How did you picture this beam? Because I was struggling.
At first, I thought the beam was inside, but it's not.
It's not, no. So is it a beam between, like, two buildings?
Perhaps.
Or is it, like, a beam that sits, like, almost sideways along the building? But that doesn't work for later. I have a feeling it's, like, across.
Yeah, either that, it's either that or, like, you know, like, have you seen The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
No. Please okay. Don't kill me.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Maddie and I are no longer besties.
We aren't besties.
We are.
Hate to break it to you. We're not.
You
besties.
Hate to bake it to me. Wait, what do you mean I'm not your bestie?
We're not besties. Emily Collin is my bestie.
I mean, Emily Collin is a worthy bestie. She is an icon.
I'm joking.
Better be your bestie. You know,
I sister of my heart. Jesus. No, we're not doing this because I'll take it back.
I'll move on, but like, none of you... I'm tearing up. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me out of nowhere.
I'm taking it back.
No! You can't do that. Don't take it back. We'll move on.
I'm taking it back. Wait, let's...
I'll just sulk.
We're not sulking because I don't want 50 billion videos of you lying on the floor to
Didn't
sadness.
I do
no!
It They've done a remix of that with Cupcake. I'll find a few later.
I am obsessed with that woman.
Same. She's an icon, she's a legend, and she's the moment.
Whoever is making these
sounds, they deserve a knighthood.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They can have the throne at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. What throne are we talking about?
Any of their choosing.
Any. Okay. Any.
Sorry, back to the book. And now we do have a little... Oh, I feel really terrible going from laughing and giggling
okay.
to now it's a very serious...
Trigger warning.
Yes. Trigger warning.
For unaliving.
Unaliving. Suicide. So Ari follows Jackson up to this beam. Jackson sat there and he's drinking, and he's clearly been drinking for a little while. And I think it's kind of clear he has the intention of jumping off the beam. And Ari sits down next to him, tries to talk, but it's not really working. So he ends up just getting him angry.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the alcohol. They're kind of like, and we do see kind of Ari flex his skills a little bit as a bellator.
I'm sorry, yeah? Before we get to that, Ari, like, he drinks quite a bit.
He does.
He hasn't really drunk anything before.
Ever.
How, I mean, it happens almost immediately, so maybe the effects haven't started to prevent them, present themselves. But I'm impressed with the next part that he managed to do it.
Yeah. They kind of start to fall off the beam.
Yeah.
And Ari magically just saves them both by like throwing Jackson through a window. And then
he like grabs the beam, grabs Jackson's hand. And it's like noted that Jackson's like not actively trying to save himself, but not actively trying to kill them both.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. And he like swings Jackson through a closed window.
Yeah. And then he manages to get back in there himself.
Yeah, he doesn't just go through the window that he came out of. No. He launches himself through the broken window.
Mm. Love that for them. Then, you know, throughout this whole section, there's a conversation where Jackson reveals kind of who Tobias was, and that Ari, from this very kind of closed-minded society, starts to realise, oh... Jackson and Tobias, it was like two men in love with each other. Mm-hmm. He feels the way that I feel about Eva. This was never even allowed to be a conversation. And like, he doesn't press any further, but he is curious to like understand more about it. And I think he's quite respectful of the whole thing. And I found it really heartbreaking, like him just talking about it. Like, it's kind of clear that like this is the first time Jackson's spoken about losing Tobias.
Yeah.
He
talked about how he doesn't really blame Eva and Ari, he blames Tobias
because,
for going back to...
Yeah, because Tobias didn't have to die, but he went back somewhere to help people.
Yeah.
And yeah, and my question, what is it that Tobias and Jackson, they had like rings?
Yeah, so Jackson wears two rings, one on one hand, one on the other. One is his,
one is Tobias's. So does that suggest that they were married?
Yeah.
I'm fine.
You're fine?
Yeah. It's fine. Are you sure you take back that compliment?
Yeah.
I can leave you here.
You can't, because we've got this to record. So.
I can.
Well. We need to at least make it to the 1 year mark. And actually, now that we've, because we've just spoken to, we took a quick break. So quick.
We cut this off in the middle, interviewed Emily Collin, and have now come back. So earlier we were saying we were going to ask Emily Collin if she wanted to be our author bestie, and she has accepted.
Yeah.
So we are besties with Emily Collin, which I love.
I love that too.
I love her.
She took the title graciously.
She did. She's also, she's a real sport and put up with all of my really stupid seal questions, because I'm obsessed with the fact that Eva can turn into
a
seal.
Yeah, we need to at least wait another year.
Oh yeah, we've already organised. We're going to party next year.
Yeah, so this podcast needs to stick around for another year.
Okay.
At the very least. And then if you still don't like me, you can leave.
No, it's not that I don't like you. I love you. I just wish you would be more consistent with complimenting me. Feed my God complex.
No. When have I ever given anyone a compliment?
You literally, there is proof of you just saying that I'm the sister of your heart.
And then I took it back. So, because you was making it a big deal. You make it a big deal, I take it back.
Okay, fine. So in the future, if you compliment me, I've just got to like internally go.
Yeah.
And like, okay, yeah. Fine. That's not the way that this should work, but I understand that that's how it has to be. Okay. So basically, Ari and Jackson have a nice bonding moment. They kind of are on friendly terms now.
Why are you correcting my grammar?
Because I have to.
Side note, I typed up half of these notes on Beth's laptop, and I prefer your keyboard over mine.
I'm honoured. I love my keyboard. It's amazing.
Mine's shitty. Why? I feel like Macs have just gone downhill.
I love my Mac. Ari makes the offer of trying to be Eva's familiar. He's like, please teach me. And Jackson's like, number one, no. Number two, the ceremony's tomorrow, bitch.
He says no with a heart.
He says no with a heart. He's like, do you not? He's like, it's tomorrow. I couldn't even get, like, any training into you at that point.
But listen, right? I fully don't understand why they didn't at least give it a go.
Yeah. Like, I think it's more they wanted to set. I know why. Is they want to separate her and Ari because they want her to be available for Sebastian. It all feeds into that political game.
I hate it. I hate it here.
I hate it here. But it's fine. You've read the end of the book.
Yeah, I have. no, I haven't actually. Surprised.
Well, this next section is going to be a real shock.
I'll be a surprise. No, I'm joking. I have. Emily, bestie, I have read it. I promise. I've got notes to prove it.
You have the interview to prove it.
I've got the interview to prove it. That's true.
I'll quiz you on the end. So the last section of the book is the ceremony. It's hair and makeup time. Eva then goes down to the ceremony, ends up dancing with a mysterious stranger who turns out to be Prince Sebastian.
Why is he a prince? Is it just that he's a shifter?
Yeah, he's also from that super powerful house.
But he's been made a prince because he can shift.
Possibly. Probably. She then realizes that it's him, and Jackson's being a bit smug, and she runs upstairs. She bumps into Ari on the way, but he's gracious as ever and steps aside and then follows behind her. They get into an argument, but being them, they ultimately end up making out. So we find out that with this ceremony, the friends of the person who's getting a familiar normally is given gifts by their friends, as normally happens in a celebration. Mm-hmm. So May gave her like a jar full of like rosy flower water, whatever.
Flower water. brought to you by Off the Book the Podcast. That's it. That's our merch. That's all we're selling ever. Flower water.
Flower water. Ari goes, oh, I have a gift for you. Maddie and I were so upset, but also we understand this. And it's the whole thing about like consent. He is very much like, I understand, I've done everything I've offered, you know, to protect you with my body and my blade. I've offered you my allegiance. I've sworn you an oath. I've offered to keep fighting for you. I've offered to step, he's like, now I'm going to offer to step back. You'll be free of me. I will never do anything. I will step back and live that quiet life as a guard. But like, I love you.
and I will do whatever it is to make you happy. So just, your gift is, if you want it, I will leave you alone. And this scene was so well written, mm-hmm. because they have that, and then it's, he then steps forward, and so they're not touching, but he like gently like brushes his hand like a few centimeters away from like her actual skin.
Okay, listen, I have two ultimate favorite scenes.
Yeah.
Okay. One is, I've said this in the interview episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm repeating myself, but one is the scene in the Court of Nightmares in A Court of Mist and Fury. We all know the scene.
I love that
scene. Throne. It's just like ultimate favorite scene, and this one.
Yeah.
The not touching, but almost touching, is so good.
Mm.
I'm obsessed with it.
Literally, iconic.
And he's like, close your eyes, tell me what you see. And I was just like, and they're like recapping all of their good moments. I'm like,
yeah,
it hurts.
It's also kind of like borderline dirty talk to be like, tell me about that time I pinned you against a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you remember? How did you feel?
Yeah.
But then being those two, they say, fuck it. I love you. I love you too. Let's make out. For real. Yeah.
Eva's the one that initiates it again as well.
He always waits for her to initiate it because he wants to make sure she is in power, because he understands that both of them haven't had control, but now that they're out, she's still got a lack of control because everyone is trying to use and control her.
If you want to hear more about this, maybe you should listen to the interview episode,
which is iconic, but it won't be out till like Monday. But then again, if you're listening to this in the future, then don't worry. You can go straight away and listen to it. It's an amazing, like Emily tells us a lot about consent and free will and how that feeds into the characters and the decisions that they make. And I'm deeply inspired. I love that woman. She is an icon. She is a legend. She is the moment. I love her. But yes, so they're making out. It's getting heated. She's, I don't know, pressed up against the wall. And then he collapses.
So Ari, my guy. Ari, my guy. What's going on?
They get interrupted by Reese and May. Killian is also there, and the executor. What's that downstairs?
Executor.
Did you not feel that?
Someone's probably having a rave. Can you not hear that?
It's like
the music.
It felt like somebody was punching the ceiling.
Surprise.
Like, it happened while we were doing the interview. I thought somebody was punching my feet.
Maybe someone's like doing some DIY,
or maybe they've got like a boxing thing and they're like fighting
No, just one of them arcade games where you punch it really hard and see what your score is.
I also think the flat downstairs are the ones who had the argument earlier, and I just really want to know what it was about.
Me too. Should I shut this window?
But if someone has an argument, we can hear it from them.
But I don't want people, I don't want the listeners, the poor listeners, to hear this.
Okay, that's fine, you can change it. But it was worse. There was one time we were getting ready to record and we could hear unsavoury noises coming from like the flat building across. Do you remember that?
Across, or it was one of the flats below?
I don't know, it was somewhere and it was deeply unsavoury.
I almost just sang Doja Cat again, but nobody needs to hear that. So.
No one needs to hear that. Okay, so we are interrupted by Reese, May, Killian, and the Executioner. Not the Executioner.
One of my notes for this book is I kept, no matter what, reading it as the Executor. And I know in my head it's not that.
So. I know it's the Exeter.
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 It's what?
Executor.
There we go.
We find out that May has secretly been seeing Reese, but he's been lying to her. He doesn't care about her. He's just wanted to get an in. And he pretended to be injured, and her as a healer was like, oh, I'll help you. And that's why she was in that dodgy alley in the dodgy end of town.
Listen, do I blame May for wanting her main character moment?
No.
No.
Do I blame her for just wanting to be loved and have human connection? No. I'm a lonely single woman. I understand.
But do I blame her for risking all of the lives?
Yes.
Of the people inside the protective barrier?
Yes.
All the kids are there, all the kid shifters, and you just fucked it up.
Do I blame her for trusting a man?
Yes. Yes.
We are the same person.
We are.
I love us. Sister of my heart. And I won't take that one back.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't say it, so...
Eva shifts but gets, like, darted, so she's asleep.
Well. No one can see.
Oh, wait, no, actually, Ari's passed out and, like, starting to wake up into consciousness. Eva's just kind of, like, down for a couple of moments. Like, she's weakened slightly. Yeah.
But she's, nobody can see. Air quotes. She's asleep.
Ari eventually gets up and, like, throws a knife at somebody. And the executor and Killian look at him like, hey. Yeah.
I love the fact that in, what was it, panther mode, whatever animal she'd shifted into, she just looks Ari and winks.
I love that. Iconic. There's also a point, so the executor is just kind of like revealing all of his grand plans, kind of. Mm-hmm. He reveals, he's like, oh yeah, you and Ari could never be bonded because it will literally kill you because you two are in love. Me. And it's like, but mate, you planned for him to be the familiar, so you must be bullshitting.
Yeah.
You would have known this, so why would you have paired them? There's a big fight scene.
I mean, he did know. But to begin with, he didn't know that they would end up falling in love.
Yeah. Whoever's downstairs is listening to some terrible music.
I told you, they're having a rave. Leave them alone.
Okay. There's a big fight scene. Sebastian comes up as a panther. At this point, Eva is a panther. There's another Bellator there, and he smacks Jackson's head into the ground, so Jackson is out of it and he can't help ground Eva.
Yeah, he comes up because he felt her shifting.
Yeah.
And poor Jackson just gets his head knocked into the floor.
But this is a nice moment where we see the development, because Ari's then thinking to himself, Jackson didn't deserve to do that. That's not, like, the Bellator is just being nasty. If anyone has the right to smack his head onto the floor, that should be me. He's the thorn in my side, so I'm not going to let that shit stand.
Why is that kind of us?
I was actually going to say, that is us. Like, we'll make fun of each other all we want, but the moment someone else upsets you...
Yeah.
That's it.
Listen, love.
Listen, love. I'm going to make a comment later.
Are you going to remember?
No.
Well, why don't you say it? I can edit it out.
Okay, well, no, I'm going to be cryptic. There's someone who hurt you recently.
How recently are we talking?
Beginning of July.
I need you to explain a little bit more.
That person is now not having a good time.
Just saying karma.
Karma is a bitch.
Yeah.
And for the other person involved, I think it's a great thing for them.
Yeah, me too.
I love this. Dear God, I hope someone else doesn't listen.
Well, nobody's gonna know.
They're gonna know.
It could have been anyone.
Also, she doesn't listen to our podcast. So,
no. Jess doesn't even fucking listen.
That's what I was talking about. Jess doesn't listen.
No.
Okay. There's a big fight scene. Killian is pounced upon by Sebastian, but somehow Sebastian doesn't do too much damage because someone, I think, goes like, oi, he's on our side secretly.
Doesn't Ronan say, like, could you chill out?
Yeah, like,
out?
Pipe down, bud. The executor is injured.
She, like, rips his stomach open.
Yeah.
It's...
As she should.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Same with, I forgot to say at the beginning, but when Camilla just gets the knife to her throat.
I thought that was cool, though.
It was cool, but, like, I was thrown off guard for a second. I was like, this is kind of disgusting, and I love it.
Yeah. And then, I can't remember what happened, but there's a point where, in panther form, you see what slamming I was talking about?
Yeah. That shook the whole room.
That shook the whole room. And that's why I think they're having a secret fight club. Ari, Eva's still in panther form. I don't know what happens, but they kind of like go flying out the windows. And somebody, a Bellator, throws a throwing knife, and Eva sees it kind of before Ari does, and it hits him in the back between his shoulders, and they hit the floor outside, and she can't shift back at this moment, and she can just see him, and she can, like, the bond that they have between them, she can feel it fading, she can feel that he's dying. And, like, internally, they just connect. And she's like, if I can take strength from him, there must be a way for me to give that back. And she does it out of just sheer love. And they strengthen each other. And he comes back to life. And she's now human. Mm-hmm. She wakes up. He's taken off his, like, jacket and covered her in it. So she's you know, not bare. She sees that his back is completely healed. And they're like, what have we just done?
It's okay. So, it's fine. This is fate.
Just confirming, is he now her familiar?
Yes.
Just confirming, making sure.
At least, yeah.
As far as I'm aware.
Unless Emily's got some, like, plot twist that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, or if she can have, like, more than one familiar.
I was thinking that, right? Because she's got four animals.
Yeah.
What if she's too strong for one person?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, before, like, this whole bond with Ari happened, I was like, what if she needs both of them?
Yeah.
Because whenever she does shift, they're both nearby.
Emily, bestie, you know, we're just chucking ideas out here. We've already pitched you our summer holiday beach idea. We're just coming out with all of them. Take it. So the bonding happens, then she's very much like, I should have listened to you. Let's run, let's get away from here and just be us. And he's like, actually.
She's done an Uno reverse.
No.
They've both done an Uno reverse.
Oh, and she then tells him, like, come with me. Or like, she gives him a direct order. Yeah. And he says no, and she goes, wait, hold the fuck up. You still have free will. Yeah. And he's like,
this is when I was like, you should have listened to Ari this whole time. This whole time he's telling you, I'm not like the others. I've been trained for shit like this.
Yeah.
And nobody's listening to him. And then, oh, look, they're bonded. Has he lost his free will? No.
He's so fine.
So why didn't we listen to Ari from the very beginning?
Ari knows his shit.
Exactly.
So there's a massive fight in the hall, and they are, like, completely in sync, Ari and Eva.
I'm obsessed with this.
Yeah. She also turns into a falcon, does some recon, comes back, goes into, like, wolf mode.
Yeah.
They work in sync. They're working so well. Mm-hmm. But there's a point where, like, we now find out that, like, Ari benefits from this, because, like, he runs, like, on the wall.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone freezes, and they're, like, horror-struck, but they're also like, how the fuck did you do that?
Isn't there a part, I think, as an arrow gets fired and he, like, turns it around?
Yeah.
That is some real speed, bitch.
That's real speed, bitch. And, like, he, like, decapitates someone while literally on the wall.
There's a lot of decapitating in this book, I'm realising.
Yeah. Massive fight.
There's a fire. I don't know where the fire came from.
Yeah. One of my favourite things is, Ari saves Jackson's life, and he makes a habit of just going, that's the third time I've saved your life. Why don't you get a better hobby? Like, needlepoint. I found that so funny. I outwardly just cackled. But yeah, fight is over. They have the executor. Said it right.
He's still alive.
He's still alive.
Having his stomach just ripped open.
Yeah. They have...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
There's a moment... Eva goes to see the executor in the hospital.
Yeah, so this is the bit we're moving up to.
But she makes the correlation between his stomach being stitched up. And do you remember that woman from the first book who had her lips stitched up?
Yeah.
She, like, makes it, like, she compares it, and that's... It made me, like, squirm. I was like, this is a really uncomfortable description.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
I was not a fan. But speaking of, so she goes to see the executor. He's in, like, a completely...
He's delirious.
He's delirious, and he thinks he's talking to someone else, who he keeps calling Lia, L-I-A. And he's, like, going, like, oh, I did everything to defend you. I gave you shelter. I offered you this. I offered you that. Da-da-da-da. I've just had an idea. I'm not going to say anything yet, but... He's going, like, I offered you this, I da-da-da, Lia, blah, blah, blah. And she's, and so Eva's thinking to herself, like, who's he talking to? Who the hell is Lia? And then she picks out some of the key clues, and then she goes running to Ari. She goes with him running to Ronan and goes, Cordelia.
Yep.
Cordelia.
She's still alive.
You found her necklace. You never found her body 20 years ago.
I'm just saying. In every book I read, it's Riverdale rules. Unless you see the body, they ain't dead. Especially in fantasy and dystopian books, okay? Mm-hmm. If there's no body, they're still around somewhere.
In the words of Taylor Swift and Haim, no body, no crime.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that means the council member who got a tattoo to commemorate Cordelia is going to be kind of like, oh, fuck. I do all that pain.
Well, damn, I'm going to have to get covered up now.
Yeah. So she then goes back to speak to the executor. After being warned not to and being warned to wait to go with Ronan, she goes and she talks to him again. And now he's lucid.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. And Ari's there with her. And so she's asking questions. And eventually he's like, look, you heard me having that private conversation. At this point, I have no hope of getting out of here. I'm far too injured. So ask me questions. And if I find it amusing, I'll actually answer it truthfully. Mm-hmm. So she starts asking questions. And he confirms that it's Cordelia. And he starts talking about... And this actually, trigger warning, was very uncomfortable because he kind of starts talking about how he...
Trigger warning for what? You can't just say
for sexual assault.
There we go.
So he starts talking about how he fell in love with Cordelia. And at first I wasn't really sure whether she was reciprocating it. I assumed she wasn't. And he is still experimenting at this point, and he decides to have sex with Cordelia. I say he decides... Very specifically.
He does decide.
He decides, not her choice. And while she's pregnant, he injects her with the different, like, animal kind of genomes.
Genomes.
I didn't
do anything more than GCSE science, so don't count on me if that's wrong.
Excuse me, I have a PhD in Grey's Anatomy. Genomes. And he basically drops the bomb that he is her father. He is Eva's dad, Cordelia is her mum, and it made me so uncomfortable because he goes, Cordelia is your mother and I'm the one who sired you.
Yeah, I didn't like that. That was uncomfy.
And then, like, Ari's thinking in his head, he's like, that pointed look that I always thought was so familiar on the executor's face, I now know why. It's because it's the exact same look that he gave to her. Mm-hmm. And she goes and tries to attack him, but, like, Ari, like, pulls her out and is like, no. They go, like, rest.
Think about this. Come on now. Mm. Like, I don't blame you for wanting to do that.
Yeah.
But now maybe might not be the time.
Yeah.
However, she should have done it.
Yeah.
She should have taken that moment.
She should have. She goes, has some sleep. Ronan comes to get them the next morning and go, we're going to go interview the executor again. We'll leave her behind to have some sleep. She's already up. She's like, bitch, I've been waiting.
I've been waiting for this. Come on, let's go.
They go.
Twist. Oh, and maybe this is why she should have killed him before.
There's people have been drugged on reception.
Yep.
The two guards have been drugged. Also, I think they've had their heads hit. Plot twist. Executor's gone.
You know what it smells like? Lavender. You know who that is? Fucking May.
One of the other Bellators survived. Hold on. Downstairs are now playing a good song.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't pick up on the mics because...
Like the one...
I don't want to be copywritten.
I should stop singing then. Although I don't think they'd be fine with that because my version was terrible. They'd sue me for how bad that was. But yes, so the executor is gone. It smells like lavender. So we assume it's May.
I mean, she always has lavender on her. She bathes. Mm. She bathes Eva in lavender. So...
Mm. So,
if it's not her, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
What if it's another healer?
What if it's Mateo? Who Mateo is one of the...
Oh!
So Mateo is one of the, like, Brotherhood who was there on, like, the hike.
Wasn't he Camilla's assistant?
I think so.
He works with the weaponry.
But he's, like, in love with May. She doesn't reciprocate those feelings because she had a thing for Reese. He was a lying bastard. But, like, Mateo was super respectful when she'd be like, no, go over there. And he'd be like, okay. So who knows? Maybe he's done the betrayal as well because he loves her that much.
Maybe. You have points were made.
Points were made.
Because he's not accounted for at the end, is he? Well, they don't really mention him.
I don't
him.
Think he was a major character, so they wouldn't
consider it. But they
don't
really mention him. But they do say specifically, oh, May's disappeared. Oh, I wonder why.
I wonder why. And that's it. That's the end of the book. And terrible news. You have to wait a year for the next one.
An entire year. It's not even like February 2020. No. 2022. My brain just stopped working. Jesus fucking Christ.
What year are we in, Maddie?
21.
Are you sure? You didn't sound certain.
No, I'm not certain.
Me neither.
I forgot how old my brother was the other day.
I forgot how old I was the other day.
I'm constantly forgetting.
I said I'm 23.
You ain't.
I'm not. I'm 22. Taylor Swift, don't copyright me.
I'm 23. I'm old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
I'm a grandmother.
That little girl, I mean, obviously she's not going to be a little girl
She's
anymore.
An icon, she's a legend, and she's
I feel like she is me. I am her.
She's also the one that says, I smell like beef. Yeah. Do you smell like beef?
I don't know, you're sat next to me. Do I smell like beef?
For those of you who cannot see, which is everyone, she has just smelt her arm. I know I'm not going to smell you to see
it's
your beef.
It's the same girl, right, who goes, look, it's freaking bats.
Frickin'
I love
bats,
Halloween.
I love Halloween. But no, I loved the book. We've both given it 5 stars.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to say that to Emily, but I forgot.
I think she got it by how enthusiastic we were.
The amount of times we went, oh my god, Emily, the book is phenomenal. Bestie, we love it. I just feel like this is the wonderful thing, but also the terrible thing about being able to read a book and then actually speak to the author and like say thank you. Like, there's nothing I feel I can say that will be enough because she's created a whole fictional world that we've been able to get like engrossed in, become attached to the characters. These characters have become so real. I feel like a thank you isn't enough.
No. I also want to continuously talk to her about like just life. We have conversations with her after we stop recording and I'm just like, I love you. Can you just... I just want to have conversations all the time.
If she'd like to adopt me, I'm okay with that.
If you're open for just a generic episode... where we just talk about
books
and teaching and yes. The arts and creativity.
Well, she's got the short stories book and another book. So
what you're saying is
we're just for every
Emily,
single book,
bestie, you can't escape us.
Yeah, if you secretly hate us and want out, I'm afraid we're obsessed with you, and you are welcome back as many times as you want. All of our listeners, you're probably going, that's super direct. What are you talking about? We know that Emily listens.
Yeah.
So, Emily, bestie, we love you.
Yeah. In case you haven't figured that out.
Oh. Okay, I think that's it. That's all we've got to say. I'm so excited for the next one.
I can't believe we have to wait an entire year.
Yeah. But the perk is that next summer we'll have to reread the first two to make sure we're
exactly
up to date.
That is true.
Which means we have to re-experience the heartbreak of that second book.
You know, we've been words. What are they? We keep saying that we need to go on a camping trip and just do a readathon.
Yeah.
So maybe next summer.
I think we should. I mean,
we could just go to Italy. Read on a beach.
Read it on a beach. Go away for a weekend to Italy. Watch Eurovision. Yeah. Bump into Måneskin.
Yeah.
Get them to fall in love with us.
And then
and read
for 3 days.
Yeah.
Straight. Yeah.
I love that. What else was I thinking? Dear listeners, now a lot of people have reached out on social media. We have our 1 year anniversary coming up. I'm thinking we should do a fun episode. Like our next. Well, that's what I was gonna say. If any of our listeners have some cool ideas or questions, yeah, we could do a Q&A. I have an idea of what I want to do. I really want to do that episode where we find the most ridiculous and embarrassing WhatsApp stories and Wattpad. Most embarrassing, ridiculous Wattpad stories.
Mm-hmm. I love that. But can we go about reading them on here? I don't think we can.
We can read the premise.
Okay.
I think we should also take a shot for every... Or, like, I think we should... I've been begging Maddie for the past year for us to do, like, a drunk review of the film after, because Maddie read the original fan fiction.
All of them.
All of them. And I want her to do... And she's not seen the films. I want her to get drunk or tipsy and watch after, and I want to record.
You know what we could do? There's podcasts where... it's like a commentary, so people can play the film at the same time and hear us speaking.
I want to do that. If anyone's interested, let us know, because I think that would be really funny.
Okay, sir. That music is
aggressively
loud.
Are they playing Gangnam Style?
It does sound like it.
It sounds like that. I miss Gangnam Style. It's been a hot minute. I know. I watched it. I watched Bridget Jones's Baby last night. And when I say last night, I mean at 2:30 this morning.
I just had like a suppressed memory resurface.
What is it?
So when I was at school, mm-hmm. I was friends with all the drama lot. I wasn't me. But I was friends with all of them, right? And they were like drama prefects, and my friend was like the head of arts, or not like the teacher, but like it was like a
student position.
Yeah. And they put on one of their shows. Sometimes it was like Teachers Got Talent, all of that sort of stuff. But they would do opening numbers, and they got me to teach them Gangnam Styles.
I love that. Iconic.
You know what? I'm not. I have a feeling it's on YouTube somewhere. It wouldn't surprise me. I'll have to have a look.
I would just like to state, I was also not one of the drama kids. I wasn't one of the music kids. I didn't have a group. I hid in the music room and tried to teach myself piano. I was a loner.
Really?
Yeah. I had literally no friends. I have like one friend from secondary school I still talk to.
I don't talk to anyone from secondary school.
Yeah. But it's my friend Kaylee, and she's really cool. She's an absolute legend. She knows about the podcast. I don't think she listens. But if she does, Kaylee, here's a shout out.
There is one person I used to be really good friends with. I can't remember if we had an argument or we just stopped talking. But she has a book Instagram.
What? That's so cool.
So I don't know whether it's worth being like,
hey.
Hi. No, we haven't spoken in 7 years.
But like, we might have some opinions.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling this episode is way too long.
But don't forget, we have a lot of editing to do. Well, I say we, I mean you.
Me? I was just about to say, I think you might need to edit.
Why?
Because it's 23 past 8 and I have work at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
I have a 45-minute drive home.
But you're not at work tomorrow.
Yeah, but I've also got to go. I am. This is a debate for off the podcast. Because if I am editing, this is going to take me longer.
Take what longer?
I don't know. It'll take, the longer we're talking, the more editing I have to do.
Yeah, but you can edit tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can start it, but it ain't gonna be finished.
Okay. Well, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Why have you gone into ASMR mode?
ASMR mode. This whole end of this episode
this has been really crazy. I think we're on a bit of a high because we had such a great time talking to Emily during the podcast and after.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't follow Emily on social media,
please
go and do
that.
She's mainly active on her Instagram, but there's just lots of lovely book content on there, and just it's definitely worth a look. Read the book, drop her a message.
Four, right? So there's Sword of the Seven Sins, and then this one, Siege of the Seven Sins. We've got Sacrifice.
Sacrifice and Shadows.
Go and read them, please.
If you would like to raise your standards in men, read about Ari Westgard.
They're so good. They're so good.
He is literally the epitome of a man written by a woman.
Oh, 100%.
I love him. So, let's rock and roll. So, yeah, please go check her workout. Maddie, what's the social?
I got this wrong in the episode of Emily, and I can't believe I did that. I was like, how did I forget this? That was a weird noise from my throat. Anyway, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you can leave a review, please do. It really helps us out. I mean, you have the option. I'm not forcing it on you. Our TikTok and our Instagram is @offthebook_thepodcast. Twitter is @offthebook_pod. We've got a Gmail of the book. A Gmail offthebookpodcast@gmail.com and a Goodreads, which is just Off the Book. You can keep up with everything that we're reading, even if it's not on the podcast. Is that correct? I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't run it.
Just yeah, you can keep up to date with what we're reading, where we're at. We'll post little reviews. Normally, link our episodes.
Do we?
I do sometimes when I remember.
Okay. And on that note,
we're going to peace out.
I feel like, I'm really sorry to interrupt, I know this is the end, but every time I say, and on that note, I feel like I'm Jeremy Clarkson ending Top Gear.
And on that bombshell. Yeah. I think of that every single time. We are the same person. Mm-hmm. I would also like to say, we are exhausted because we've been working since 1:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to peace out. And I'm going to have the... I tried to have a nap before the interview and Maddie wouldn't let me.
No, I wouldn't, because I needed to set up and you were in the way.
I came up with the genius idea.
You did, but you were still in the way.
But you love me.
No.
You heard it here first, listeners. She did call me sister of her heart.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. Peace out.